This is Brian Kinsey. I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola, and I'm delighted that you're listening to our podcast, and I hope it is a blessing to your life. Please send us an email at firstpent.org if you have a prayer request or would like a Bible study. Thank you for listening.
Of this. So, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. And verse 2 have some very powerful truths because it reveals how the mercy of Jesus and how the salvation of Jesus works in the life of a person who's in darkness. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as such as was in her vexation when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in the Galilee of the nations. Now, don't you know that when you're a sinner, God's going to afflict you to try to get your attention? He starts with a light affliction, and if that don't work, he'll go to a greater one because he doesn't want you to be lost. Well, why does God afflict me if he loves me? That's the reason why he's afflicting you, because you're going the wrong way and he's trying to get your attention. So he allows things to happen in your life to try to stop you on your way to hell so you will take notice and realize, you know what, I've been living in darkness. And then, verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Is anybody glad when the light came on in your life and you realized, I'm going in the wrong direction. I don't have to live like this. I found Jesus. He's brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light to show forth his praises. That's why everybody's clapping. That's why everybody's happy, because he's multiplied the nation. There's a joy in harvest as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. There's joy in salvation. Does anybody get excited when somebody walks up here and gets the Holy Ghost, or am I the only one? I love it when people get saved. How many of you love it when your loved ones, finally the light comes on and they walk into this church and they realize, I don't have to live in sin any longer. I can live for God. And then he starts talking about breaking the yoke of the burden and the staff off of his shoulder and the rod of the oppressor. Well, I thought he already dealt with sin in first two verses, and now he's dealing with oppressors and burdens. How many of you know that after you get saved, your battle's not over? You still got things that oppress you. You still got things that try to hold you captive and keep you from being effective in the kingdom of God. But God said, I'm going to defeat all of that. And then here's the verse. And I know I've read it and I know I've seen this, but here's the verse. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise. Anybody ever been confused even after you got saved? Because you went through something you didn't understand and you had a battle you didn't realize what was going on? Now, I'm not talking about if God's vexing you with affliction because you're going the wrong path. I'm talking about doing the right thing. I'm talking about doing the right thing. And garments rolled in blood. Anybody's garment ever been rolled? I mean, you got into battle, but you didn't just get hit. You got wounded. You didn't just get wounded. You got ripped open, blood everywhere. And this is what he said to do with it. Go put it in the fire. Stoke the fire. And the Lord just spoke this word to me, and I'm just going to give it to you. He said, when your passion becomes greater than your pain is when you'll birth your Messiah in your life. For unto us the child is born, and unto us the son is given. The government's going to be on his shoulder, and he's going to be called Wonderful Counselor. Boy, I could get started right there, and we wouldn't go no further than that. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and on his upon his kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment, with justice, henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal, I wish to the power that is in this place right now. My, I can just, it is all over me today. I wish, woo, you could see what I'm seeing in this text right now. And somehow the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So I want to talk to you about your passion's got to be greater than your pain. I'm going to talk about that. Because you got to learn how to take those garments rolled in blood and take them to the furnace and burn them on the fire. And instead of it discouraging you, it needs to fire you up. Oh, that's why somebody overcomes and then the other person doesn't. Because they know what to do with their garments robed in blood. They know what to do with their confusion. Huh? I'm not going to sit around and get on Facebook and tell everybody about it. I'm going to bring it and I'm going to put it on the altar and I'm going to let the fire, I'm going to make the fire hotter. Well, the devil just attacked me. I think you ought to worship more. I just got my teeth kicked down my throat. I think you ought to gum him to death. I've just been through something. You don't even know what I've been through. I don't. But you ought to get up here and shout more than anybody here. God bless you. You may be seated. Pain is a gift that nobody wants. I heard anybody tell me, I want to hurt today. You know, I just haven't hurt enough today. I'm just not in enough pain today. I doubt very seriously anybody's ever said that. And I doubt anybody welcomes it. But it's a gift that everybody needs. If Jesus had never endured the crucifixion, he would have never secured the resurrection. They go hand in hand. You can't have a resurrection unless somebody's died. And if there's a crucifixion, then you can experience a resurrection. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Now it's after you suffer. It's not necessarily during the time, but it's after the time. He's going to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. There's a reason for your pain, and God allows that pain to happen for a reason. Paul was shown things that he must suffer, but I'm telling you, Paul didn't give up his promise because his promise was greater than his pain. See, but I got into church and I got the Holy Ghost and all of a sudden I had expectations and not one of them has been fulfilled. Anybody ever experienced the pain of unfulfilled expectations? Anybody ever thought it was going to be better and then it sort of got harder rather than better? And you said, I didn't realize it was going to be this hard. Nobody's like that. I'm the only one that recognizes life can get tough every once in a while. There's pain in unanswered prayer. Whenever you prayed and you asked God for something, but he gave you a different answer than you were looking for, and that unanswered prayer is still left as a bad taste in your mouth, and there's pain associated with it. Because God knows what you need, and you got to trust him that he knows exactly what you need. And the pain of divine delays. Oh, isn't that wonderful when God says, no, I'm going to give you a stop sign instead of a green light. I'm going to stop you on your way because I'm not going to let you walk that path. It's not that it's a bad path. It's not that it's a wrong path. It's just not the path I want for you. I'm going to put you in this path over here. I don't like it. It hurts. How about the pain of betrayal when you thought you had a friend and somebody who's supposed to love you and really care for you, but then they hurt you and then they betray you and that pain is really intense? What am I supposed to do with this? I came to church and I thought everybody was perfect. Amen. I got one amen and one oh me. I thought everybody here was perfect. I just thought, you know, it was going to be smooth sailing when I got into church. I came out of darkness showing forth the praises of Him. And then somebody said, quit praising so much and sit down and behave yourself. Well, then you find out whether or not you really develop some fruit of the Spirit in the midst of your suffering. How many of you, when you got married, you thought everything was going to be wonderful until you had your first disagreement? Pain. But I'm going to tell you what, I think I'll stand on the word of the Lord, because Paul realized His promise is greater than His pain. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? But as it is written, for thy sake. What happens when you suffer for His sake? What happens when you suffer for doing the right thing? What happens when you go through it and it doesn't seem like God gives you victory after victory and you just go through battle after battle? But we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But I say, nay. Don't look at me like that. There are people that have gone through worse stuff than you've gone through that have made it to the other side. He said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors who through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Do I have any persuaded apostolics? I'm not saying you didn't get betrayed. I'm not saying you weren't falsely accused. Just thank God you're not Brett Kavanaugh. Just thank God you're not. But you can come through. I know you're hurting. You're not the only one going through it. But I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm telling you, your pain is not the end. Bring that garment rolled in blood and throw it on the fire and say, I'll worship a little stronger. Romans 5, 1 through 5, and I'm reading from a paraphrase. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with Him and make us fit for Him. We have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. I'm going to tell you what Jesus has done for you. He has fitted you and equipped you to do things for God that you couldn't have done sitting in darkness in the world, but He saved you and brought you in. Is anybody glad that through faith you have entered into what God has purposed for your life? But that's not all. I'm going to throw open my doors to God and discover at the same moment that He has already thrown open His doors to us. Somebody needs to throw open the door. You are closed off and your pain has closed you off. And say, well, I'll open up when God answers my prayer. You will sit there and God will never answer that prayer. You need to open up before the prayer gets answered. Well, when God heals me, then I'll be able to worship. No, you better worship while you're still in pain. I know nobody wants to hear this, but I found out. God showed me in the spirit. He awakened me in the night, and he showed me times in the darkness when it seemed like I could not go another mile. I took that garment rolled in blood and I put it on the fire, and I said, God, I'll serve you if you put me up. I'll serve you if you put me down. I'll serve you if you put me on the roof. I'll serve you if you put me in the basement. I'll serve you. I'll serve you. I will worship. I will praise him. I will glorify him. And when I put it on the fire, the passion. You can't birth Messiah without somebody getting on fire. We need a passion to birth Messiah. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. So that's how you're supposed to respond to this. Okay. There's more to come. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise because there's more to come. Even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop that passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue and keeps us alert for what God's going to do next. Is anybody expecting? I tell you what really hurts is when you're hurting and you're in pain and somebody gets healed right next to you and you're still hurting. And you were the one that laid hands on them and prayed for them, and God used you to heal them and he don't heal you. That's never happened to you. That happens to me a lot. Boy, thank you very much, Lord. I pray for revival and everybody else gets it but me. Praise God. You say, oh, that don't ever happen to you? It's happened to me plenty of times. Why? Because God wants me to find out what it means to truly see the kingdom come. And when I can learn to praise in the midst of my pain, and I can get passion for the true kingdom work, as long as the government comes, as long as the kingdom comes, in alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. I am tired of preaching to Pentecostals who feel like God has shortchanged them. Woo. You feel like God shortchanged you because you went through something that you don't understand and nobody can explain, not even your mama. Mama can't even give you an explanation of why you've gone through, and you are sitting there feeling like God has shortchanged you. And that is not the will of God. You can't birth anything in that state of mind. You are in a state of mind that God cannot use you, and he cannot birth Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's no government in that. There's no authority in that. If you want authority with God, then you got to rise up in the midst of your pain and say, I still have a passion for Jesus. I don't mean you got a passion for what you're going through. Ain't nobody can want some of that mess. But praise God, I still got Jesus. And he means more to me than all this world could ever be. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the one who died on the cross. Because here's what you're going to do. When you start praising in your pain, when you start getting passion, this is what's going to happen. You're going to say, listen, I might feel like I got shortchanged and I don't understand why God did this for me and didn't and did this to me and blessed somebody else. I don't understand all of that. But here it is, God. Quite the contrary. If you'll start praising, you can't round up enough containers to hold everything God's about to pour out on you. I'm hurting, I'm in pain, I'm in this, but I'm telling you, you can't get enough bottles. You can't get enough buckets. You can't get enough, my God, you can't get enough stuff. If I could get some of you to get this revelation and quit just sitting there and saying, I'm hurting, and somebody hurt me, and somebody cause pain. Everybody here's been hurt. Everybody's here is in pain or something. My toe hurts, but I'm still going to preach anyhow. Woo! Hallelujah. I got my boots on, but I'm still going to preach anyhow. Come on now. I think you ought to get up from that pew and quit whining about what you got shortchanged by and say, if I'll praise him, God will bring enough empty vessels, not a few, and he will fill it up with a little bit of oil. I don't care how much oil you got. It ain't how much oil you got. It's how many containers can you gather up? How many containers can you gather up? That's what God's about to do for you right now. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to say you're not hurting. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to be unsympathetic or unempathetic or whatever it is. I understand pain, and I know you're hurting. I understand that. But there's a time when you need to just roll the garment filled with blood and bring it and put it on the pile. But I don't know what to do. I'm confused. Well, then praise him until you get unconfused. Keep coming to church. You know, I hear that, you know, that's why they're staying home watching Netflix, is because they're confused. Oh, well, if that won't confuse you. I wish somebody would just stand up and say amen to my message, because it's the truth anyhow. Isaiah heard the noise of the battlefield in his day, centuries before Jesus was born. He saw the garments rolled in blood and recognized that this pain would become the fuel that would enable Jesus to complete his journey. When God became a man, he endured pain as a man. He allowed himself to experience every pain that you would ever experience in your life or ever have to face at some point. Yet he did so without sin. How can God accomplish this? He said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, I love you. I love every one of you. But when you sit there with no zeal and point to what you're going through, there's no excuse if you've got Jesus. Because the zeal within is greater than the pain he endured. For he said, for the joy that was set before me, I endured the cross. His passion to save you was greater than the pain. Woo! And he knew if he could get his garments rolled in blood to the fire, he could bring salvation to man. Hebrews 12:2. Listen to it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our passion to serve needs to be greater than our pain. In John 16:33, These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. Why? Because in this world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The word tribulation means to press. If Jesus is in us, the overcomer, the passion within us will be greater than the pain without. And even when the world is pressing in on us, the overcomer will take night and turn it into day, darkness and turn it into light, sorrow and turned into joy, gloom and turned into sunshine, tragedy and turn it into triumph, woe and turn it into worship. Over and over again, the overcomer takes problems and turns it into praise. And instead of the thorn, instead of bitterness, he's going to produce the fir tree. Instead of being a briar mouth all the time and biting on everybody, you're going to be a myrtle tree. Instead of mourning, you're going to have oil of joy. I'm going to go ahead and preach it anyhow, devil. Instead of heaviness comes the garment of praise. Woo! We got too many people that need to be burped. And we got too many people that need a pacifier. And we need somebody with some zeal that says, I might be dying, but I am a worshiper before I am anything else. Because my pain is not going to keep me from my passion. I don't want to add to your pain today, but sorrows are angels in disguise if they cause us to pray. Troubles become Jacob's ladder if they move us to a place of worship. Trials are stepping stones to blessing, and you'll appreciate it more when you suffer to receive it. Nothing's really bad that happens to us if it draws us closer and closer and nearer to God. And any wind that blows is a good one if it brings you to your desired harbor. So here are my magnificent conclusions that I draw from this. Number one, your circumstance does not invalidate who you are in Christ. Don't listen. I don't care if they've been in the church for 563.7 years. And they know exactly why you're going through what you're going through, and they don't have a clue. They're one of these pop psychologists. Don't listen to them, because what you're going through does not invalidate who you are in Christ. Thank you. My most powerful point. I want to say that again, because we got too many people that are running around saying, I know why they're going through, and I know why they, and you don't have a clue. Only God knows why anybody might be going through what they're going through right now. And my circumstance does not invalidate. I don't care how severe my circumstance is. It's never invalidated by my mental or emotional condition. My praise is not accepted because I'm emotionally up or down. Because the zeal he's talking about is not excited or enthusiasm. It's talking about, I'm going to press through. I'm going to keep on because I found the treasure in the field and his name is wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God. Say, Brother Kinsey, I feel like I've been cut off. I feel like God's forsaken me. I feel like I can't feel nothing. I just can't feel nothing. I hear that a lot. People are numb today. That's why they have to entertain themselves, is to numb themselves more. And they're numb today, and you can't get them to feel anything. I mean, God can move in a service and five people get the Holy Ghost on the same row they're sitting and they can't feel anything. I'm talking about Pentecostal people. I'm not talking about the world. You understand that about the world because they sit in darkness. They don't have the light. You have the light and still are numb. That's the reason why the Bible says, I wish you were hot or cold and not lukewarm. Lukewarm is numbness. You can't feel anything. If you're even cold in the Lord, if you can come up and say, Brother Kenzie, I just feel like I'm cold in the Lord. Thank God. At least you can feel something. All we got to do is wait for the fire. Go get that garment rolled in blood. We're going to put it on the fire and put some passion back in you. I promise you one thing. When God hears you pray, he's going to answer you and he's going to help you. The Lord has sent me to you. The prayer that says, I will cry unto the Lord, my God will answer in Psalm 61. And I choose various verses from verses 1 through verse 8. In verse 1, hear my cry, O Lord, and attend unto my prayer. Verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And then go to verse 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the covert of thy wings. And then verse 8, here's the progression. I will sing praise unto thy name forever, forever. Woo! I will cry, I will abide, I will trust, and I will sing. It's all right to cry, but stay in the church. But I'm crying, Brother Kids. I'm hurting. That's fine. Cry on, baby. Cry on, cry, baby. I mean, cry on. Did I say that wrong? I did it on purpose, actually. But I will cry, but I will abide, and I will trust. God's got your back. He knows what's best. He'll take care of you. He'll bring you through. He's never let anybody down. He's never failed us. I will trust. So what are you going to do in the meantime until God shows up and starts doing something? I will sing. Some of you are doing real good on the crying part, but you ain't doing too good on the singing part. So I'm trying to get you to sing. Sing, baby, sing. Sing. Why do I need to sing? Because that's the progression. That even when you are at your wit's end, I said, I'm at my wit's end, Brother Kenzie. I don't know what else to do. You're in the best place you can be. Because now God can step in and you won't take the glory for what he does. I said, God's fixing to do something for somebody. God's fixing to move on your behalf. God's fixing to heal somebody in this house. You hear me right now. For when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock. Woo! Will somebody hear what I'm saying? Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Hallelujah. I want to go to the rock because that rock is higher, but I need somebody to lead me there. So you don't understand that most likely in most cases, maybe not all, but in most cases, the reason you went through what you went through and you came out on the other side, finally you started to sing and God's delivered you, is so you could go get somebody else who's down and let them know, I don't know what you're going through and I don't know why you're going through it and I don't have any answers for you, but I'm going to lead you to what I found in my life to be the best thing, and I'm going to lead you to the rock. Now, I'm not going to carry you. You're going to have to walk, okay? All right. I'm not going to drag you, and I'm not going to hurt you, but I'm going to lead you to the rock. Come on now. Let's go. Up here, I'm leading. My job is to help others get through whatever it is they're going through. And let you know, we got a Savior. His name is Jesus. He's wonderful. He's Counselor. Y'all can stand. He's Mighty God. Now, you just came through it with your bad little coat, and you got victory, and you've got the fire, and you got the passion. Now go get Jaron over there and bring him on up. Now it's his turn. See, here's the problem. You're waiting on the preacher to come down there and take you by the hand. And we got too many people here, and it would take me too long, and we'd be here till the next 3 weeks for me to go get everybody. But if you will come through something, if you will overcome, then instead of me having to do everyone here, I can do one, and then that one do one. Jen, go get Dylan and bring Dylan up here and bring him. My grandchildren are here. I'm having a great time. Dylan and Kenzie, they've come to stay with us for a week. Clap your hands and thank God for that. Jaron, go get somebody else. I don't care who you get, but just go get somebody and bring them up here. And then the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. You don't have to keep doing it. You get the picture. You understand what I'm saying. I would to God that everybody here would get this revelation and say, I'm going to take my garment. I'm going to take it rolled in blood. I'm not saying you're not bleeding. I'm not saying you're not hurting. I'm not saying that an injustice wasn't done against you. But I'm saying I've got a song in my heart. I found out what this is all about. It's not about me. It's not about what I'm going through. It's about him. It's about the one. How many of you are hurting right now? Lift your hand. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, I don't care. Just you're hurting. Lift your hands right now. Don't try to guess which one I said applies to whoever lifted their hand. Lift your hand. I'm going to lift mine so that'll make you more comfortable. Sometimes you have to endure that pain. And I can't explain it. How many of you have come through some things you were hurting, but God gave you victory? You may not have the sense of everything yet or the explanation, but you're still singing. I'll fly away. Oh, oh. All right, you have a mission. The government's on his shoulder. Everybody wants peace, but nobody wants the government. They don't want nobody telling them what to do. But you can't have peace if you don't have government in your life and authority. And if you're not submitted to authority, trust me on this one. You're not doing the will of God. Because you can't operate, you have no authority if you're not submitted to authority. You better be glad that all of those pilots that fly all of those planes over our head and Air Force bases all over America that are submitted to authority, because some of them are carrying a payload that would literally obliterate the United States. But because they're submitted to authority, you have no fear, because you know that they're fighting for you and not against you. If you're not submitted, you're destructive. You know, the badge don't give you a right to pull the trigger just anytime you want to. You still got to be submitted to authority, or you will work against society rather than for society. Simple, plain. So if you're not submitted to authority, we're going to deal with spiritual gifts tonight. So we'll find this out tonight more especially. But if you're not submitted to authority, you're destructive in everything you do, because you won't listen to reason, and nobody can talk to you because you're too stubborn. And that stubbornness will kill everybody in the house. I can't hear you. What happened to your amen? You need to get your pain, and you need to bring your garment rolled with blood and put it on the fire and say, this is my passion. This is my passion. Now, if you've been through something or going through something, you go find somebody around you. You get them by the hand. You bring them to the front and you say, we're going to sing in this place together. We cried. We're abiding. We're here, so you're abiding. We're trusting, and that's more of an internal issue of what you have to settle within your mind. Now, go get somebody. Go get somebody. Yeah. Go get somebody. Go get somebody. Because you don't know what help you might be to them. You don't have to know anything about it. They don't have to counsel with you and give you all the reasons why they're coming up here with you and all of that business. It's none of your business, and it's probably none of mine. But come on. Because we're going to pray. Listen, you're not going to be able to collect enough containers. That's the paraphrase in Romans chapter 5. To put the blessing of the Lord in. If I can get you to singing, if I can get you through the progression, if I can put you in the realm, you're going to pick up containers. Going to be so much. He said, I will pour out a blessing on you that there's not room to receive it. I'm telling you right now, God has spoken and he is about to do it in your life. If I can get you through the progression, go on. Quit putting that in the back of the chest of drawers and then bringing it out when you want to cry about it. Go get it. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm not saying you don't have a right. I'm just simply saying that needs to be the wood that stokes the fire.
We hope that you enjoyed this podcast, and if you did, please subscribe so you don't miss another message. Please connect with us. If you have any questions, we would be delighted to hear from you, and we can be found at firstpent.org. That is firstpent.org, and we certainly hope that you will visit us soon. Be blessed in Jesus' name.